at them. Everybody's got, you know, issues that they have to resolve personally or, you know, in business too. When you run a business, it's a fire drill. You run into fire drills every day, right? Especially if you're owner of a business, then everybody comes to you when there's issues. So, you know, with mentorship, you know, I have mentors as well, and there's things you learn along the way. You make mistakes, you learn from other people. And what I've done and learned from mentors as well, running a business, is you need to focus on the top three things each day that's going to move your business ahead.
Awesome, everybody. Welcome back to the CVMK show, because it is what it is. You listen to the best podcast host. Why? Because I'm the best podcaster on God's green planet. And we have an amazing episode because we're going to get into the nitty gritty of the business of things. You know, business-tainment is an interesting kind of talk, right? A little discussion. One of the things is, in business, they always say the things you can't say, the things you can't mention, the things you can't discuss. But on this show, we go there. We're going to discuss it. So I have an amazing guest by the name of Kurt Stein, and we're really going to flush out this new wave of AI, what it means, 5G, IoT, how it's going to impact business. We're going to go there. But before we go, I got to give a shout out to the fans. We are nothing without you. Yes, I said you. Right now, Instagram, you have brought us over 72,000 followers on the CVMK_global. The It Is What It Is _show page is growing as well. On YouTube, we are at 13,500 subscribers. And I just want to thank you, because you make this possible. Without you, there is no podcast. That's why I need you to keep listening. So if you know what to do, you want to hit and share that subscribe button and like everything. Because look, we really appreciate your feedback and everything that you do. I take it in consideration. I'm not one of those podcast hosts that just sit behind a mic and don't know what the audience wants, right? I want to give you what you want. Only way I'm going to know is how you engage with us. We will return after this quick break, and we're going to get into it with the one, the only, Kurt Stein. Kurt, how you doing today?
Doing well, Cody.
I appreciate you. Look, you know, anytime you reach out to anybody, you just don't know. You know, and I've had some very interesting guests. You know, I've had Chris Broussard on here, right? I've had Mark Aguirre, the NBA Hall of Famer. I've had some really cool people. But you just never know. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different timetable. So I really appreciate you coming on here. I appreciate what you do. But for them that do not know, right, they might not be as familiar. If you could just tell our tribe kind of what you've done, a little brief, you know, resume thing, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah. So 25 years in technology. I started 1998 at AT&T. And it seems like a long time ago, 26 years ago. I came from UPS. So I kind of did that for a little while, learned the whole operations side of the business. Didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. Got an opportunity to go to AT&T, and that's where I began learning about technology. So I spent the next 16 years there. I managed, on the sales side, I managed five global accounts, very, very large accounts, BlackRock being one of them, and several other accounts, like things like that. And then I went out on my own, started my own business. And shortly, you know, it's 10 years now in business. And then I started DCT Strategy about 2 years ago, around digital transformation. And then what happened November of 2022, that's when AI really, really came out with ChatGPT. That's when, it's been around for a very long time, but that's when it really hit the mainstream with GPT. And our clients started asking about AI integration, AI strategy. And that's what got me to where I am today.
I like it. You know, digital transformation was a word that was overly used 5 years ago, and we didn't know what we were talking about. You know, I was pitching it toward banks and credit unions, we were using the word digital transformation to basically describe that you need to go from a human bank teller to an app, right? this idea of ChatGPT wasn't even thought of. Open AI, voice automation, intelligent automation, all this kind of interwoven things have really changed the landscape of business to the point I can't keep up with it. I feel like there's a new advent, there's a new technology, and I'm just waiting for the next big thing. Scary, yep, but exciting. So first question I have for you, you know, with the rapid change of everything, the pace, there's kind of in this constant state of disruption. As much as you are entrenched in the niche of technology, how do you, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you got like a Rolodex of like a bunch of inventors and be like, hey, when you drop that new tech, hit me up first? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, it's a great question because, you know, the saying is not nobody, there's not one person that knows everything, right? We're not God.
Right.
We don't know all in. So even, you know, even a Mark Zuckerberg, even Elon Musk, I mean, they know a tremendous amount, but they're innovating. They're trying things out and they're bringing very, very smart team members on to help them. They have a strategy and then people help them implement that and they find, you know, where they're going. So with that said, as much as there's, you know, very intelligent people and there's a lot of things going on in the space, not everybody knows. So everybody has to talk to one another to see what people are working on, what's coming next. Now, I'm not inventing, you know, the services, right? I'm not building AI large language models. That's not what we do. We're helping companies strategize, integrate, and implement AI based on solutions, right? So no different than if you know, if you're selling some other product or service, some company makes it, but we're helping them consult on it. So with that said, the way to stay up on it is, you know, you would see people typically go to conferences, you know, they're speaking to customers, you're speaking to the companies that provide it, the vendors, you know, the Open AIs, the Anthropics, the Stable AI, the, you know, Microsoft. You're speaking to all these companies and finding out what they're doing, where they're going, what's their 1-year plan, 5-year plan, where their investments are going, right? No different than probably conversations you had in the past. Where investments are going is very important for people to understand what they're doing next. And next place, you know, I spend a lot of time is LinkedIn, and that's where you found me. That's, and believe it or not, that, you know, that is a place of sharing tremendous amounts of information. When you find people that have similar interests, you can follow what they're doing, what they're talking about. And that's, you know, that's how you stay plugged into the new things going on, as well as talking to customers, right? And finding out what they want, where they want to go. And then you get to learn more about products and services, find out what's working, what's not working. So it's constant. It's not one place. It's you have to be almost everywhere. And you're constantly trying to stay up on it. And even doing that, we're still surprised in what comes out next. OpenAI talked about, you know, the Sora, S-O-R-A, which is where you take text or speech and it'll create a whole movie. And it's they don't have a date when it's being released yet, but that's, you know, massively, massively impressive. And then you have Google that's changed from Bard to Gemini, and the large language model can import up to 1 million words and process it. That's just mind-boggling. This didn't exist 2-3 months ago. So, you know, we're it's almost a revolution that we're taking place in, and every day we're watching things and we are just amazed at the innovation that's going on and everything new that's coming out. And you know, we're just constantly staying plugged in because we never know what's happening next.
I like it. And there's two doors that you opened up with that one. The first one being, you know, LinkedIn has evolved. I remember joining LinkedIn, I feel like when it first started, and you know, when I, over 10 years ago, that's why I don't have any hair. And you know, when back then nobody had like a profile picture, you had to be like a VP or higher to have it was just a name, a title, basic stuff, right? Now the profile is really your brand. And it's kind of like I said, it's like Instagram for adults, right? Or Instagram for, you know, professionals. To the point, though, I don't know how this forum is avoiding the same, I would say, I won't say manipulation, that's a strong word, But the same kind of submissiveness to an algorithm that only shows based off of interest, right? Like, yeah. How do you not deal with the bandwidth? How do you not go to something that's trending? Because how do you engage? I mean, like, I've been in sales my pretty much whole professional career, right? Reached out from email marketings, you know, LinkedIn, you name it. I've done it, trade shows. Spoken at TED Talk. I mean, I've tried to cover my bases in this, but I don't think LinkedIn even knows what they have. So, Kurt, I'm going to ask you, and this is the first door, because the second door is really where it kind of emerges. Has LinkedIn created the new Silicon Valley in digital format, where no longer I have to travel to the West Coast, you know, get a hotel in San Fran, I can get to the person, the product, the goal, most of it being capital or somehow achieving capital, right, from this arena?
The answer is yes. So the answer is yes, but it's understanding the nuances, the rules, the social etiquette, right? I mean, So we went from, you know, you take it like this, like if you're walking, you know, you're on a sales appointment in New York City or something like that. How do you go into a client's building and introduce yourself? You can't just walk into their office and say, hey, I want to sell you this.
Yeah.
You know, people throw you out. Right. So that's the etiquette of door-to-door sales, or of, you know, what we used to do back in 98, 99, when you were allowed to go walk into buildings in New York City and go talk to people. And then, you know, after 9/11, that was that. You know, you couldn't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So from a LinkedIn perspective, the way you do it is you establish, you know, authority first, expertise, and then you reach out to prospective people that you want to speak with, but you have to offer them value. You have to come to them with not asking them to buy something from you. Right. It's not for them to give you something that you want. You have to offer something of value to them. You know, so if somebody's approaching me, like I'll give you an example. Somebody approached me right after COVID, and all the emails are coming out, and a company reached out to me, an accounting company, saying, are you aware of an employee retention tax credit? And I'm running a business, and you know, I didn't know what I was talking. I didn't know what that was. And they were like, well, the IRS will, you know, depending upon how many employees you have and stuff, there's a credit that they'll offer to you. And it's about businesses maintaining employees because, you know, they shut down the entire economy. Right. And it's called an employee retention tax credit. And it was pretty big. And I saw that email, and I see a lot of emails I delete, but that email caught my attention because they were like, if you need help with that, let us know. So they gave me information. They gave me insights. They told me about something I wasn't aware of and then said, hey, you know, contact me. Now I didn't work with them because I was already with ADP. I went to them and they did it all for me. But that's an example of somebody coming to you in a cold email, offering you value and insights up front. And you have to do the same thing with LinkedIn. You can't just go, you know, DM them and say, are you interested in buying this? Because they're going to get, it's like pitch slapping, right? They get upset and they don't want to respond to you. So in a LinkedIn world, you comment on their posts, you add some value, you contribute to that conversation, the social aspect, right? Right. Make some good points and then connect with them and then, you know, ask for 5 minutes, like a virtual coffee or something like that, or share something with them that you think is of value. Like an AI space would be like, I'm having a LinkedIn live tomorrow and I sent out to a bunch of people, hey, we're having this LinkedIn live. It's, you know, AI simplified, how business leaders can get better with AI. And I sent it out to them because it's something of value. You know, I'm not telling them to buy something, saying, would you like to join this and listen to it, like coming to a conference. So that's how you have to do it on LinkedIn. It's a very nuanced way to approach things.
Yeah.
But that is the new way to get in front of people. Because otherwise, you know, how do you touch tens of thousands of people unless you're going to a conference? And then even then, how do you shake 10,000 hands, right? How do you do it? You can't.
No, I like it. And I think the of value piece is what's missing it's hard because what I might consider value isn't what the other person does.
Sure.
And I think it becomes spamish because you're trying to throw a dart against a moving target, right? And I, you know, sometimes you get lucky. But I think there's a human element that we don't fully appreciate. And this is where AI gets a little tricky. And I want to throw this. I'm going to take a quick word from our sponsors that I really want to get into, really, how is AI impacting business, right? Like for those that are owners, CEOs, presidents, it's like, you know, the new, you know, red shiny object. For those that don't have that seniority, it might be a way of awakening or replacement in some fear, right? So we're going to get into it after a quick word from our sponsors.
There's a hero in all of us waiting to be unleashed. All it takes is just that one last push. Activate the hero within with CBMK Global Supplements. All natural, steroid free, designed to enhance performance, build muscle, and increase energy. You are unstoppable. You can do this. Become your own hero at www.cbmkglobal.store.
All right, y'all, if y'all like me and you're experiencing this unusually warm weather, I don't know if it's climate change or finally Chicago's not a polar vortex and it's in its mid-60s, you know that spring is around the corner. I want you to get the body you deserve. One of the best pre-workouts that I have created, Superpower. I want you to go www.stephenkglobal.store. If you need a milder version, we got Warrior Thirst. We have it all there, but trust me, you will not be disappointed. Use code STEPHENK25 for 25% off. www.cvmkglobal.store. All right. So AI was this cool, safe word that most people 30 years ago was like, I no longer have to do long math. It could compute an algebraic equation, and that was considered some form of AI. It took a little bit of manpower away and gave efficiencies without elimination of roles and responsibilities. Then, like everything, it evolved and it kept evolving and it kept evolving and it kept evolving to the point now it doesn't have any what I would call a cerebral or cyber consciousness. At least I don't think so. You know, I'm not a creator, though, of it. But I haven't heard of anything of that magnitude. But it can, particularly for some might say lower value tasks, replicate human behavior. And I don't mean just in, you know, input, output, simple stuff. I mean actually execution of command to a certain level of degree. I remember working with this company out in Australia, this tech company dealing with voice automation. And basically it was an AI technology that engaged like we're engaging now. And it went a little bit beyond decision tree learning, right? It would pick up on cues, over under tones, sincerity of whatnot, and try to come up with the best possible response based off of what was stated. This though has exploded to the point now you almost feel that the vacuum or I would say the meat of an organization has taken another layer of cuts or efficiency, however you want to phrase it, because of it. Is this something that we should fear, or is that just natural human instinct?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Everybody asks this question. And yes, it is. Human nature is when you don't understand something, you fear it.
Yeah,
that's human nature. It doesn't matter what it was. And I'm sure if you go back in time, the people who had horse and buggies, right, and had an entire economy based around that, were very fearful of that Model T Ford coming down the road. Extremely fearful, right? I mean, what does it do? It impacts their business, impacts their, it changes everything, changes how they commute, how they interact, how they society is, right? It is an absolute change. And it did. It changed society. It changed businesses. It sped things up. People just got in those cars because it increased commerce and just, it changed everything for the better. And then you fast forward into the internet, right? And what happened with the internet in the 90s, it's like, wow, you had to dial up, right? And you're able to go out there and see things. And it was still a little bit difficult, but once it, the speed started picking up, it was just unheard of the things that you could do, the businesses that were built, everything you can learn from the internet itself. And then you look at the cell phones. And I was saying on one of the podcasts, in 2007, the iPhone comes out. You know, that was the first and the worst iPhone that we have ever used in our entire life.
Yeah.
The first and now the worst.
Yeah.
Right. So people got very nervous of that. And how do you use that? And Blackberries and, oh, you need the little pads with your fingers. That's the only way you can do things. And we've seen just innovation change and people are fearful of it. And now you fast forward again to this Apple Vision Pro goggles. Look, it's still going to take some time for the form factor to work itself out. You know, a lot of people returned it because of headaches and nausea, and it's heavy on the face and it's a lot of money, but in time it's going to become easier and lighter to wear. Yeah. And no matter what it is, there's a fear when it comes to everything. And the biggest thing that people should be doing is learning about it. The more you learn about something, less you're going to fear it. Mm. That's it. You have to learn about AI, and there's a lot of free courses out there for AI. There's a lot of classes that you're out there. You can get on LinkedIn. There's a lot of podcasts like this talking about AI, what it can, what it can't do. And the idea is that I don't think people should be fearful of it. And look, Elon Musk talks about it, saying that I heard him on Joe Rogan where he was talking about he signed that open letter saying we should pause it for 6 months.
Right.
And then when Joe asked him about it, his response was, well, you know, I didn't think people were going to do it. But it didn't really have to do it. Right. I think it was okay for a while. And now he's out there building Grok. And Grok is his, what he refers to it as, the moral side of AI. Because, yeah, you know, somebody's got to program AI. Somebody has to influence it somehow and code it and stuff with how does it answer things? You know, how does it respond to things? You know, some human's got to help with that. And he didn't want to see a world where it was, you know, one-sided versus another. So he's like, let me create Grok. I mean, he was on OpenAI's board in the beginning, so he understands this. So with all this said, yes, people are fearful of it because a lot of people don't know. Those that pay a lot of attention to it, I'm not fearful of it. I'm blown away by the amount of innovation that's taking place, and keeping up with it is an everyday job to understand what's happening out there so I can speak to all different areas. And I don't even know every single area because something different's happening all the time.
Yeah.
But could it, you know, does it have the capability to become bad? Yes. The guy from 16Z was a Mark Andreessen saying that we haven't even figured out the human brain yet. So how could we as humans possibly build an AI that would be far superior to what our capabilities are when we don't even have the capabilities to figure out what we are already? And that was, he said that on Joe Rogan back like July 19th of last year, which was very interesting.
Yeah.
But there's always, you know, you get the wrong people doing the wrong things. If government just let things just go willy-nilly and, you know, no guardrails and not looking at risk and governance, then absolutely, then things could get out of control and it could be a situation of fearing it.
So I think that brings up a valid point, the guardrails. And I think, you know, you're a leader, you're an entrepreneur, you're a CEO. Whose job is it? I mean, obviously you would say ideally it's up to us, we the people, but really whose job is it to have this moral consciousness for AI?
Yeah. So the question is, so if you look at the business side, it's the business leaders and it's incumbent upon everybody in the business to make sure that they're following risk and governance. No different than if they have your credit card data as a client. You know, they can't possibly do something wrong and expose that to a hacker that's going to take your credit card, because it's going to be damaging to your business's brand.
True.
So, you know, from a government perspective, it's their job to make sure that the country itself is leading in the AI race versus other countries. And look, I'm sorry to say it, but it's a truth at a very high level, a global level. America wants to be a leader. China wants to lead everybody. Yeah. Europe wants to lead as well. So Europe is putting a lot of, you know, rules in place, and businesses are saying, hey, look, we got to be smart in how we do things, but we can't hamstring ourselves or tie our hands together, and then we lose our step in AI and fall behind the rest of the world. And China is out there saying we're going to innovate, you know, better than everybody. And the US is saying we're going to innovate better than everybody. So you have this tug of war of those that want to, stop AI and not let things get too crazy because they fear it in politics. And then you have another side of it saying, look, we have to allow business to learn. We need to be leaders, from a country perspective in terms of AI. And they have to balance each other out. It's that, in politics, you talk about the moderation, Republicans and Democrats, right? Everybody's, if on the fringes, they say majority of people are moderates.
Yeah.
The same is in business. I mean, if the government went too far and said, that's it, we can't have, AI, which I think Canada is doing. I've heard on one of the podcasts that Canada's putting a lot of restrictions around AI. That's going to be to their detriment. Europe has got to be careful how far they go, because it'll be to their detriment, innovation and investments.
Right.
And the U.S. can't allow things to get too far, because then things can get out of control. So it's, how do you find that moderation between the two? In a business side, you have to set up risk and governance internally, your legal teams, your HR teams, and making sure that whatever your strategy is from an AI perspective, whatever the use case is that you want to use, you have to understand what is your strategy, what are your goals, what is it you're trying to achieve with this technology, and then you have to make sure that you're not doing something that's going to be harmful to your end customers, expose your end customers to things they should not be exposed to, or that your tool doesn't hallucinate and say things that might damage your brand. Yeah. So it is incumbent upon the business itself to do that. And the US and the UK formed the AI, council. And what they rolled out is said they're going to follow the NIST standards, NIST, which businesses and anybody in IT understands NIST standards. It's been around for a while, and they're using that to apply to AI itself. And it's going to follow around the rules of cybersecurity, governance, changes, how information is shared, what information is not shared, what's HIPAA, what's PCI, things of that nature. So again, it's a two-part answer. Businesses, they have to make sure they're doing things, and we have to pay attention to what's happening on the politics side. You don't want to see where it becomes, who's legally responsible for it. And that's a lot of stuff that's happening too. If a business makes a mistake, is it going to be Microsoft on the hook, or OpenAI on the hook, or is it the business on the hook? And these are all the things that are fleshing out right now. And I've read a lot about different ways that it could go. And then you move to the next level, which is the post office in terms of patents. They've already released guidance around you cannot use AI to create an invention. That is not an invention that can be patented because it was done by AI. It's got to be a human that is more involved and critically involved in using AI to create something, then it could be patented. So you can see there's so many levels to your question of businesses have to be responsible, governments have to be responsible, and everybody's got to work amongst each other to make sure that we're doing things that are right and not wrong. And the government does have buy-in from all the large AI companies, where they're saying things like they'll share their the large language models and how they're doing things and how things are being provided. And that'll be run through the government so they can do some checks and balances before things are released out into the market. So I guess you would say right now it is they're volunteering, involved, being part of things, letting each other know what's going on. But even the government doesn't fully know, what to do next or really how to manage things. Everybody's learning right now. Put it like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think everybody's in a learning phase. And it was so funny. I I think politics are unavoidable, whether we like it or not. And I try to keep my nose to the ground. Particularly, I live in Chicago, so politics is everything. but listening to candidate A versus candidate B, I have not heard even the word, you know, to the point it's like, are we tone deaf? You know, like, are we tone deaf to the evolution of business?
So I would suggest to your audience to listen to that Mark Andreessen, Joe Rogan podcast, July 19th, 2023. And I know that because of my birthday. So it was actually a very, very good podcast. And Mark Andreessen's from San Francisco. And I bring that up because he's from one political persuasion, but he didn't care. He had a business conversation as to what he was speaking about. And Joe Rogan has his political persuasion. So what was nice is it was around business. It was around AI. And Mark Andreessen did a fantastic job breaking down the politics to understand how the politics works, especially around this. And that was in July. And he called it. He said what was happening. He said, the candidate A and B we talk about, the ones that are out in front, the senators that are sitting out there, the congressmen, they're not the ones doing all the heavy lifting. It's all the people on their teams behind the scenes. It is the secondary staff that are you know, doing all the work. And he said, there's two different schools in there. There's those that are fighting to lock it down. There's those that are fighting, saying, we understand the benefits here and we need to be leaders in terms of AI. And they're fighting for things as well. And you know, each side has their own political persuasions as to, you know, who they're going to push up back against and who they're not going to push back against. But what was nice about that was that, you know, Mark really said that they call him up and he has conversations with some of them. And I guess he liked that some of them really get it. And there's others that are going to come at them really hard because of whatever, you know, whatever they like or don't like, right? Whatever their political persuasions were. And it's both sides, by the way. It's not, this is not like one side versus the other.
No, definitely.
But the point of it is that from a business perspective, he felt that they were getting it and that some other things, you know, things had to work themselves out and they had to figure things out. But he was very involved in what was happening there. So the good thing from a business perspective, I don't see that they didn't put a lockdown on anything. So America is innovating and we are trying to be leaders here. They're just trying to get some guardrails there. Other countries, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go too extreme and therefore they're not going to be as innovative in AI and they'll fall behind.
No, I like it. Look, I want to get into how to silence the noise. I think as an entrepreneur, the hardest thing to do is focus because you have 18 different things. I mean, like, you're looking at contracts, you're like, what the heck? And you're trying to send a bunch of emails. So I want to really shift focus to that after a quick word from our sponsor.
I literally just tried the best pre-workout on the planet. With Superpower pre-workout, you have increased focus and a power boost every single time you work out. It's not only packed with 225 milligrams of caffeine, but it also has citrulline and creatine. It's insane how much energy and focus I had during my workouts. If you're ready to take your workouts to the next level, then ditch your current pre-workout and get the Superpower pre-workout to be your own hero.
Y'all, Superpower got with me the way the protein we dropped 3 months ago, I want to say. 25 grams of protein, 110 calories, no amino spiking, all digestive enzymes. Telling you is absolutely fantastic. And for those vegans out there, I have Transform. Hopefully you can see that. You will not be disappointed. www.cvmkglobal.store. As a lesson that I'm learning, that I'm trying my hardest to keep the train on the tracks, is to focus, right? An entrepreneur, you will be thrown in 1,000 different directions for the good, sometimes not for the good, but it's all part of life. And it seems like every day has its own unique challenge, and yet you still have timelines, deadlines, goals, quotas, revenue markings, the whole list, right? Yep. Kurt, how have you navigated? I know this is pretty wide, but I want to give you the depth because you know more about this. how do you navigate all this distraction, disruption, new technologies, Joe Rogan's podcast versus the best podcast, which is the CVMK podcast? Like, how do you navigate all of that and focus on the main thing?
Yeah, yeah. So it's everybody's struggling with this. It doesn't matter if you're running a business or you have a family or, you know, you're an employee. Everybody's got challenges. Everybody's got a lot of things pulling at them. Everybody's got, you know, issues that they have to resolve personally or, you know, in business too. When you run a business, it's a fire drill. You run into fire drills every day, right? Especially if you're owner of a business, then everybody comes to you when there's issues. So, you know, with mentorship, you know, I have mentors as well, and there's things you learn along the way. You make mistakes, you learn from other people. And what I've done and learned from mentors as well, running a business, is you need to focus on the top three things each day that's going to move your business ahead. And the rest of the items, either you're going to move to before the workday, at the end of the workday, or you're going to assign it to somebody else to deal with. So an idea where that would be is if marketing was very important to your business, then you should be carving out time, you know, to do your marketing if that's really what's going to drive your business ahead when you're running a business. If right. You have some issues with supply chain that is going to impact the customer experience and delay sales, and that's something that's impacting, well, you better make that one of your top three things that day that's going to drive your business ahead. Because if you don't, you could suffer. If you can assign that to somebody else, you know, offload that to somebody else that will execute on that and get it done, and you could focus on other items, then you do so. And that's literally what it is. Nobody can do everything all day long. And if you try to, something's going to suffer. Nobody can. It's impossible. So you have to either bring in offshore folks, VAs, you know, employees, and you have to offload to them the things that don't make sense. Mm-hmm. And that's not because it's not a valuable task. It's just not valuable to you as a CEO. Gotcha. It's the job of a CEO's strategy, driving the business ahead, making sure that you see where things are going, new relationships, new vendors, new partnerships, driving business in, you know, bringing more business in. Anything else aside from that, you're just going to create busy work for yourself. You're going to give yourself a good excuse for why you're busy, and you're going to look at your bank account and say, well, you know, things aren't improving. My profits aren't growing. I can't give raises to my employees. I can't do this. I can't do that, because you're not doing what the business is supposed to do, which is, you know, profits.
Right. No, I like it. Mentors, focus on the top three things that you can do and delegate, because you have priorities to accomplish. Kurt, this has been an absolute pleasure, my friend. I really appreciate you being on here. I know you got a lot of things going on, and I'm sure, you're the one to reach out to. Where can the people, they want to connect with you to say, hey, look, I did what you do. I want to hear more about you and what you do. How do they reach out to you?
I mean, so you found me on LinkedIn. So it's Kurt R. Stein. So just put the R in between Kurt Stein. That's how I put it on LinkedIn. Or dctstrategy.com is my website. But they can always, you know, connect with me, watch my content, see, you know, you'll see who I like. And that's how you learn a lot about AI and what's happening out there. And then what will happen is, based on your likes and what you select, they'll start pushing more content and more people with the algorithm that is around what you want. So even if you're not very interested in AI and something else, you'll eventually find people. So I would suggest people get on LinkedIn. It's a great place, as you said earlier, to build your brand.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, this is the new social media marketing, and that's how you grow your brand.
That's it. Y'all connect with Kurt. He's absolutely fantastic. And if you want to keep seeing leaders like we have on today, you know what you got to do. YouTube, one word, four letters. It is simple. CVMK. People get around. I'm like, CM? I'm like, no, CVMK. Instagram, it is what it is, _ show, CVMK, _global, CVMK 33, TikTok, CVMK Globe, Snapchat, CVMK Global, fan base. It's all the same. Twitter, CVMK Global, where it goes down and where the best supplements are, www.cvmkglobal.com. Store. And until next time, guys. Thanks.
If you think exercise alone got me looking like this, well, think again. CVMK Global Super Thick got me right. I'm obsessed, and yeah, I won't stop talking about it because it helped me grow in all the right places. Its creatine provides a fast and reliable way to increase your power, size, and shape, and it's scientifically proven to help you reach your physical goals in a safe, controlled manner. So if you want to increase muscle size, pump, and thickness in your muscle groups, you need Super Thick.